How's everybody?
Good.
I just want to start off by saying one thing. God's not invisible. We're just blind. Because he's there. He's there all the time in our lives. We just don't see him. And you know, and I say this all the time, and I have to say this, because I'm a different kind of a preacher. God saved me 8 years ago, and he brought me into the ministry, called me into the ministry, and all the years I've studied. I'm just a different kind of a preacher. I love the church. But I knew the kind of, I know the kind of man God has brought me to, or is bringing me to, but I knew the kind of man that I was. And I wasn't the kind of person that you could reach by being real nice and flowery, you know, real churchy, because I looked at that as being weak, and I played on those people. That's what I did. So I'm the kind of preacher that will tell you somebody's got to call the baby ugly. You know, you ever go see somebody's baby? Oh, he's so cute. That baby's not cute. That's an ugly baby. I'm the preacher that'll call a baby ugly. Hey, you know, don't ask me if you don't want to know the truth. You know, and I say that because I lived a life of coming around the church and coming around the saints and not even knowing what I was there for, not even knowing why I'm here. What did, you know, Jesus said about, of John the Baptist when he talked to the people, he said, what did you come to see? Did you come to see a reed shaking in the wind? What did you come to see? As we go back and forth, we come and I talk to young men and sometimes older gentlemen and give them my phone number and stuff and different things. They never call. Some of them do, but most of them never call. Okay. Not my thing. It's not, I'm not here to chase anybody. It's not my thing. And I'm not here to be the police or hound anyone. But as I go back to the court, as I'm a mentor in court, along with Marvin and Kayvon and Donnie, we're mentors in the court. As I go to court, I see some of those same people in jail again. You know, and one of the guys was in jail this morning. He just really clowned, you know. And you have to ask yourself, what did you come to see? When you came to ask for my number, what did you really want? What did you really want? You know, I want to read a story. And this story talks about people from every walk in the church that couldn't even see what they were there for. This was every walk, and I love this story. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them to enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him, and John looked on with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that this was he which was set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You know, let's start back at the beginning of the story. This it says that Peter and John went up to this temple, which they went every day. See, this man was laid. He was crippled from his mother's womb. His whole life, he was lame. His whole life. They brought him to this gate called Beautiful at the temple. He laid outside the temple begging for nickels and dimes. Did anybody hear that? Did anybody hear that? He had enough sense to understand that the people in the temple were being blessed. Because he didn't go hang outside the brothel. He didn't go hang outside the bar and ask for money. He didn't go hang outside the corner store. He didn't go hang outside the restaurant where there's food. He didn't go hang outside the hospital where there's doctors and nurses. He went to the temple. Something in his mind understood that the people in this temple had more than enough. They had even enough to give. And in my mind, if you know that, why aren't you going to the temple? If that's the case, why don't you go into the temple and get what they got? You know, I sat around meetings like this for years, coming to ask for nickels and dimes, a new shirt, a coat, or somebody to pay something for me or something like that, not understanding that I can have what he has if I come and get what he got. At the temple, not even understanding why you're there. This man laid outside of there, and he became, like a lot of us did, and I can speak for me, and I'm talking about me now, became comfortable in my infirmity. This man was okay. Being lame was his job. He had put this in his mind that being lame was his job. I get paid because I'm lame. See, I knew that if I was a dope fiend, when I was a dope fiend out there, I knew that when it got bad enough, somebody would chase me down the street for taking their money, or somebody would have shot at me, or some things like this, and I'd have used all my things. I can go cry to people who were blessed people, and they would give me a place to sleep on the couch for a couple of days. They'd give me a new coat for the one that just somebody snatched off me because they couldn't catch me, and they had to snatch the coat off. You know, see, because that was all I thought I deserved. I thought being a dope fiend was my lot in life. I could come sit around these circles and have a very pretty story. I could come around. I had learned the language. I learned what to say to make me look like I was okay. I learned what to say to make me fit in. I learned what to say to make you not watch me. So I thought. But as I got saved and God saved me, I can hear past what someone is saying. See, because I have learned something. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And if God loved the world that much, that means he loved me when in my ignorance. So he knew I was a liar. He knew that what my words and my life was dishonest and I was a liar. So what he had to do was give saved people the discernment to read past what I was saying to hear what I was really saying. Because I was too big of a fool to let someone help me. I wanted you to think I was okay. See, to me, thinking I was okay was good enough. This guy is at this gate every day outside the temple where he can beg for these people who he knew had more than enough. Because that's why he came. The Bible said he came every day. He didn't go outside the casino. He didn't go outside these other places. He didn't go outside factories. He went to the temple because he knew these people had more than enough. Looking for their change. Looking for the nickels and dimes. Now it would seem to me, in a moment of clarity, he would say, hey, somebody take me into that temple. Somebody get me in there and let me see what's going on in there. And the reality is, I see people grow in this room. This very room, I watch people grow, and it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing to watch the men and women of God grow to who the people God called you to be. Because I grew through these rooms. When I first met Marvin, I was nowhere where I am today. Not at all. You know what I mean? But my story was, according to what I wanted to tell. But here's a sad reality. There's somebody sitting in the room tonight that's not going to get it. You know what I mean? I just look at it for real because there's somebody here in the room that thinks they're smarter than me. They think they're smarter than Marvin, the pastor, all the mental. They think you're smarter. See, we're not here because we're very smart. We're here because we surrendered. Pastor, we're not here because we're brilliant people. Yeah, I have a college degree, but that doesn't have a hill of beans. When I die, it's going in the trash, wherever it goes. You know what I mean? I'm here because God saved me for real. God came into my life and saved me for real. You don't have to spend the next 15 years running in and out of prison, learning and memorizing the right things to say and the right things to do, because that makes you look like you're where you need to be. It's about time. You know, when I got saved, I was still a mess the day I got saved. I was just got high the night before. And I was going to get high then. I just took some stuff. I was getting ready to go sell it to go get high then when God touched my life. And I began to cry. But for years before that, I was asking God to help me. Years before that, I'd be walking down the street after I just broke in somewhere, after I just stole some stuff, and I'd be walking down the street and tears would be coming down my face, and I'd be crying and not understanding why. Because I'm getting ready to go get high. I'm going to go back to where these girls are. I'm going to go do what I do. But as I began to, but then I would come to these places and I would sit there and I wouldn't tell the truth. Because I would learn to memorize the things. Today I don't care what people think. What I care about is being whole today. I want to be the man called me to be, and it doesn't matter. When I went to prison, because I went to prison after I got saved. And it was like almost the worst time of my life. You know what I mean? Because when you're really saved, you don't fit in no more. You don't fit in no more. See, I'm going to tell you something. When Peter was at the fire and the lady said, wait a minute. When they had crucified Jesus, he said he was with them. He said, no, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. And then somebody else said, wait, you were with him. No. I'm going to tell you something. No one in this room hasn't been with Jesus. The fact that you're here, Jesus is somewhere. He's called you. He's entered in your life some kind of way. You'll never be the same. You'll never fit in back where you used to be. You'll never fit in back where you used to be. The people are going to see the Jesus in you, and you're just not going to fit anymore. And it just took me so long to understand. I was in a dope house one time, getting high in the back with this girl and some other people, and the girl's old man ran the dope house. And I went back up front to buy some more dope. And the man asked me, he says, what are you doing back there? See, but and I always have problems because I was always one of those people who was a pervert, had to always have a girl and this kind of thing. So I told him, I said, hey man, I ain't messing with your woman, because I thought this is what he was getting ready to talk about. He said, no, man, I don't care nothing about her. So what he told me. No, he said, I don't care nothing about her. I'm asking you, what are you doing back there? I said, what you mean? He said, you don't belong back there. See, you don't belong back there. That's not even for you. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? So I'm thinking to myself, I said, your woman back there. He said, she belonged back there. He said, she can get what she deserved. He said, well, why are you back there? See, people can see the Jesus in you, because before then I had been with Jesus. See, before then I had been with Jesus. I went to a place called Abundant Life, and they bought me some things and got my little Bible and my little coat. And I remember the night I had my little thing on head in the church, and I decided I want to get high. I took my Bible and hid it in the bushes because I couldn't take it to the dope house with me. I just wouldn't do it. I hid it in the bushes. Jesus will go where you tell him to go in your life. If you don't think he's with you, then he won't be. Because he's not a molester and he's not a burglar. He's not going to break in and take over. This is a true story. There were some kids in Brazil riding in a car, and they were drunk. 5 kids in the car. They were all drunk. Car load of kids. They were drunk. And they seen the one girl's mother at her job or somewhere, and she told her, take her home, y'all go home. And she told her daughter, she says, y'all take Jesus with you. Just take Jesus in his car with you. And the daughter in her drunken stupor and her jocularity says, well, if Jesus go with us, he got to get in the trunk because we fool up in here. That night, on the way home, there was a wreck. Everybody in that car, this is a true story, everybody in that car got killed. The trunk was not damaged. When they opened that trunk, there was groceries in there, and there was even a dozen eggs. Not an egg was broken. Not an egg was broken. See, we have to understand that when we ask God to lead our life, we got to let him do it. We got to let Jesus in. When I come here, I have to learn, I'm coming to get what God has for me. I'm not coming to get a handout. See, because it was just okay for me. See, for a long time in my life, God had me going through a period of learning how daily manna works in your life. Because when you're a dope fiend, when you're an alcoholic, when you're a criminal, you're greedy. The core of being a dope fiend, the core of being an alcoholic, the core of being a criminal is self-centeredness. And so you want it all. You want more than enough for yourself is what you really want. There's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have security in life. But when you're a dope fiend and an alcoholic and a thief, you're not going to do nothing with it no way. You're not ready for it. You don't even know what to do with it. So God had, when after God saved me, he had to take me through a period of daily manna. And I wonder if you look at the money that I was making, if you looked at my income on paper, you would say, how is he driving the cars he's driving? How is he dressing like he's dressing? How is he living in the neighborhood he's living in? And I never, my bank account never got really big. And I asked God, I said, God, every time somebody, I would talk to somebody in the world and they would give me a lead about a good job that would pay $25 an hour. See, when I was younger, I made $30 an hour as a journeyman concrete finisher. So I'd have people tell me about these good places. I would clean up and I'd go running in there, have my resume, have all my credentials, but what you call them, when you call people? References. I have all of it intact. Even in one place, came to me. The man came to me. He saw me at a luncheon with the attorney general and stuff. He came, hey, I want you. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And it didn't work out. I didn't get the job. And I sat down and said, God, am I silly? Or what is the problem? And God let me know, brother, I need you to understand I'm here today and I'll be there tomorrow. I'm here today. I will be there tomorrow. You need to learn that. At 59 years old, you've always had to think that you had to cover it for yourself. You always thought that you had to do these things. And I began to say, God, I'm grateful. And you know something, running out of gas or what's for dinner is no longer a problem in my life. And somebody might say, that's nothing. But if you came from where I came from, you'll understand. See, I wasn't a baby dope fiend. I was a real live dope fiend. You know, some days I didn't know where I was going to eat. I would go up in places and just bogart me some stuff. And if I get away, I'm going to eat. If I get caught, I'm going to jail and I'm going to eat. You know, either way. See, I just began to have some reality in my life about what it was about for me in these things. But God showed me I'm going to be here for you. So as I began to do okay with that, and I watched, they start sending me stuff for credit cards. You know, I said, no, I've never had a credit card in my life. I don't know nothing about it. I never did this. I said, I'm going to try it. So I got me a couple credit cards. And I began to do right by them. I began to buy a little something and pay it off with my check. Buy a little something, pay it off with my check. My credit score went over 700. An old dope fiend like me, an old lying thief like me, began to have a credit score of over 700. And I'm not saying this because it's not about the money. Those are the things that come along with when you understand why you're here. See, you're not here to flirt. You're not here to pick up a girl. You're not here to see who you can play on, because it's going to be times where you might need, and God will provide the need even through some of us. But there's going to be some time you're going to try to play on us, and you might get me one or two times, or you may think you got me. But you didn't really get me, because anything I give up in the name of Jesus Christ, he always gives it back to me before I get home almost. But I had to get to a point to understand why I was here. Why am I spending my nights in these places? And I have to go to, is it because I want to show the courts? See, I'm not on paper. I've been off paper and stuff for years now. But I could still be on paper because I don't care. I don't care, because my life is accountable to God. With my life being accountable to God, my life's accountable to Marlon, to Meg, the pastor, Kayvon. My life's accountable to everybody in this room. Because I don't need to look like something to be what God called me to be. I don't need to have a flowery speech or be able to memorize a bunch of stuff and come in. See, and then when I first got saved, I'm going to say this, I'm going to get ready to close, because I wanted to go a different route, but God took me somewhere else. I always follow him. I always follow him. See, when I first got saved, I had about a week saved or two. And then I wanted to teach the world. I wanted to run to the world something. I want to show you. I got about an hour clean, but I want to show you how to get clean. I want to sit down and I wanted to be the man. I wanted to go ahead and advise. I wanted to write a book about, you know, all these things. You know, and the smell of dope was still on me. See, and I had to learn that far many times at that point in my life, even though I'm fighting to be saved, that there's a spiritual warfare going on with inside of me. So more than not, that addiction was talking. That addiction was still trying to talk through me. So I had to learn to be quiet. I had to learn to sit down and shut up a little bit. I had to learn to sit down and just listen for a while. I had to take the cotton out of my ears and put it in my mouth and be quiet and learn something. I had to get what he got. I had to get to where he's at. I had to understand that he had to go through some things. See, because I wanted to be where Mick and those guys were the first day I met them. But those guys had to go through some things to get there. God's going to use you. Here's the hope shot. Here's the hope shot. God is a caller on every life around this table. And he wants to use you. But wait till you're ready. Wait till you're ready. God will fill you up, protect you, and send you out like a slingshot. But God desires truth. You can only worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. In truth and in spirit. You got to admit to where you are. You got to know where you are. This guy at this gate laid there daily, knew there was something going on inside, but he was okay with the pennies outside the thing. Somebody here is waiting, and they're doing just what you need to do, because I did it. I'm talking about me waiting to get off house arrest. Wait, the day I got off house arrest, the day I had somebody hit my car sitting in front of my house. This was years ago. And I got home and see my car was hit. The guy came back. He had good insurance and everything. And I'm shouting, the enemy set me up. Because I'm going to tell you something. You relapse way before you get high. Way before you get high. Because I had already set around these rooms. I had already set around the community correction building. I had got all the phone numbers of the little cute girls, especially the ones who I knew were promiscuous. Didn't think they were going to make it anyway. And I was going to get me a part of that, because I was going to play on that, because that's what I was. I was one of those people who didn't care about boundaries, didn't care about respect. I didn't care about nothing but self-gratification, and I wanted to pleasure myself. I had been on this house arrest thing all this time, and they had a meeting at the Washington House the day before I got off of the house arrest. I got a check for $1,900. I was working at Fetter's Construction Company. I was making $21 an hour, so I had at least a little bit of money cropped up, and just that one girl I had been peeking on. Now, see, because I was nothing but a predator, that one girl I was peeking on, I told her, listen, check this out. And I showed her my check I had in my hand. And she said, is that some of that mine? I said, yeah. I said, I'll be by tomorrow. Hey, you know, hey, look here. And I got off my house. I'm telling you something that might help somebody. I'm not trying to sit here and glamorize yesterday. I'm telling you something that's going to help somebody. I took that check and I cashed it. I went and got in my car. I went and brought 10 rocks. You know, because you know how dope fiends are. I'm too stupid to buy a big enough bag, so I'm telling myself I ain't going to spend but this amount of money. And so I went and got me 10 rocks and went to her house. This girl trying to get off house arrest, trying to get her life together, trying to leave the life of being a whore. And I took her right back to the place she was trying to leave. 4 days later, I leave her house without a dime. I leave her house without a dime, buying 10 rocks at a time. Needless to say, she failed, I failed, because all I was doing, and you know what they told me in house arrest the day I graduated? They said, Lyle, you were one of the best and strongest people to ever go through this program. What they told me? Say, you got a job paying $20, you paid all your fees up early, you were just, you know, I had on the right outfits, because I had played the game long enough to fool somebody. Your gifts will take you where your character won't keep you. Your gifts will take you somewhere. 20 minutes later, you better have some character to be able to stay where it takes you. Because I went right back to being the fool I had always been. Don't try to play on the system. Don't try to play on the mentor. Don't try to say what they need to say. Say what you have to say. And ask God to come inside and show you for real who he is in your life. And if you ask God to show up, just like any good father, he's not going to leave his son or his daughter at a crossroads. He's going to show you which way to go. Let us pray.